We're going to get into the Word of God this morning. We started a new series last week, and we called it the God's Gift at Christmas, God's Gift at Christmas. And last week, we talked about God's gift of strength, and this week, we're going to talk about God's gift of joy for you. How many know we all need joy? We need joy in our life, and what better time than Christmas time to say, hey, we need God's joy in our life. And we hear this incredible gift of strength last week, and then this week, we hear this incredible gift of joy. God's got this incredible gift of joy that he longs to give to each and every one of us. And we hear that and say, ah, that sounds good, but it's not for me. How can I experience God's gift of joy? And today we're going to look at it and think about it. We're going to look at the word joy. It needs to be looked at a little closer, this word joy, and what it actually means and how we can obtain it in our life. We look at the word joy and say, yeah, I can spell it, you know. We can all spell joy, but many of us here, we look at the word joy and say, I can't have it in my life. I really cannot have it consistently in my life, Pastor. I've tried. I don't experience joy consistently in my life. And when we look at a verse like this in our text today, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, what says it right here, it's on our overhead, it says, always be joyful. Pretty simple, huh? Always be joyful. Turn to your neighbor and say, always be joyful. And we read that and say, yeah, right. Some of you are thinking that right now in the back of your mind, you're thinking, right, always be joyful, always be joyful. And some of you are thinking, man, that makes no sense at all. You know that we can not always be joyful. How do we obtain that today? And some of you have walked in, you've had a tough week, and you've brought in things that you're going through in your life, and some of you are hurting, and you brought in pain, and you've had some trials and tribulations that you've gone through this week, and you think, right, be joyful at all times. How is that possible? Some of you came in feeling bad, and you have a right to feel that way because you choose to feel that way. And some of you said, Pastor, you can't take it away from me. Some of you came this morning and said, I feel bad. I have a right to feel bad. And you can't take it away from me. And I say to you, you're right. As long as you want to hang on to it, you can hang on to your miserable self. That's fine. If you want to have a bad attitude, that's great. You hang on to it. You're right. I cannot take it away from you. God can. But you have to learn to give that to him and accept his joy. You got to learn to say, you know what? I can accept the joy of the Lord, and it can be my strength. The joy of the Lord is what? My strength. There's a couple of things that keep us from experiencing joy to its fullest, and I want to share these with you. Number one, the bad things that shouldn't happen. There's a lot of bad that shouldn't happen in this world. As I talk to people on a weekly basis, this is one thing that we talk about is I have to answer questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? And there's a lot of bad things that happen in the world. Because a lot of bad things happen in the world, we don't experience joy the way we should experience joy. And a lot of it, you know, if we just be honest, a lot of things that happen bad to us, we bring on ourselves. Isn't that true? You know, we want to pass the blame to other people. But if we're really honest and be truthful this morning, a lot of bad things that happen to us, We're at fault. We're the reason why we're in the predicament we're in. No one made me do the things that led me to the results that I have in my life. I can blame myself. I can try to blame somebody else, but a lot of the bad that happens, I'm to blame. But you know what? There's also a lot of things that happen in our life that aren't our fault. There's a lot of bad things that happen to us that wasn't our fault, that you had no control over. And yet still, bad things happen to you. You lost someone to a sickness. You lost someone too early in your life. Something happened to one of your children. Something happened, and we just don't understand it. Why these things happen. And we have a lot of questions. Because of that, we have a hard time accepting the joy of the Lord because we don't understand. God, if you are so much wanting to give us joy, then why did this happen? It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't seem fair to me. It doesn't seem like this makes a lot of things happen in my mind to go, oh, you know, makes me doubt you. It makes me doubt. And so we have a lot of things that are happening in our life, bad things that happen that cause us not to accept and to act in the fullness of God's joy. It's also a second thing that distracts us is the good things that doesn't happen. How many know I'm talking about the good that doesn't happen in our life? There's a lot of good things that just don't happen to us, that dream that doesn't get answered, that dream that doesn't get fulfilled in your life, those dreams that you have and they never seem to come to fruition in your life, and you have these dreams and these goals, and it never seemed to happen, and it steals your joy. Or maybe that prayer that you prayed and doesn't seem to get answered the way that you want it to be answered. And it's all these things we begin to do in our life, and the circumstances that happen in our life that are not perfect, and they take away the joy out of our life. You can look at real life truths, and we have to face every day. and realize that joy is going to work. You can't wait for perfect circumstances because we do not live in a perfect world. If you're waiting for perfect circumstances to experience God's joy, it'll never happen in your life. Well, Pastor, I'll experience God's joy when this happens, when this happens, when this happens, and when this happens. I'm here to tell you it'll never happen. It's just like having a baby. You can try to prepare all you want, but you're never ready. Parents say amen. You're never ready. You're never financially completely ready. You never got the house completely done. You never got this done. You never got your job. All these things that need to take place, you know. And I say, you're never ready. You're never completely ready. You can try to plan and you try to get ready, but you're never really completely ready. And the same thing happens with joy. You're never going to completely be ready to experience God's joy in your life because there's always going to be bad things that are going on in our world. There's always going to be circumstances that are happening to you that you can't explain. There's going to be things that happen, and things aren't always going to be perfect. And if you're waiting for things to line up to be perfect to experience God's joy, you'll never experience God's joy in your life. And you'll live your life miserable, depressed. You'll live your life walking around without joy because you're waiting. Well, when this happens and this happens, listen, it will never happen until you learn to yield some things in your life. And one of the things is just realizing that my circumstances will never line up completely the way they need to be for me to experience joy. I've got to be more aggressive and say, God, I'm going to, in spite of my circumstances, I'm going to experience your joy. In spite of my circumstances, I'm going to see the joy in your Holy Spirit moving into my life. And so we realize this. We choose joy. We got to choose joy. If joy is going to work as in an imperfect and often ugly world, what message of Christmas is all about? What is the message of Christmas is this, that in this world that joy comes to the world. That even though we have circumstances that don't line up, even though we have a lot of bad things happening, in spite of all that, the message of Christmas is, in spite of all that, that God brings you his joy in spite of your circumstance. That God brings you comfort in spite of your circumstance. That God brings you peace in spite of your circumstance. That God has brought you joy. And you can choose to be discouraged, or you can choose to be encouraged. The choice is yours. Because listen, there's a lot to be discouraged about. If we look around and say, Pastor, man, you're really encouraging this morning. Let's just be honest. There's a lot of things to be discouraged about. Can I just tell you a revelation today? Maybe you won't hear this anywhere else. I'm going to tell you, every cloud does not have a silver lining. Some clouds are dark and have storms in them. And it rains on your parade. Some clouds bring a storm in your life. And so things are going to happen. And circumstances are never going to be exactly the way they need to be. Because joy is not automatic. Joy is a choice that you choose to operate. Say, God, I'm going to accept your love. I'm going to accept, in spite of my circumstances, I'm going to accept the joy of the Lord. And I learned to operate in that. It's not an automatic thing, but it should happen to me. It's a choice. If joy is going to work in your life, it's got to work in the midst of real problems in a real world, because that's where we live at. We live in a real world with real problems, with real things. Some things are unfair. Some things we don't want to deal with. We have a lot of things we're dealing with in our life. And if joy is going to work, it's going to have to work there, because that's where we live. That's where we're at today. That's the circumstance we have, that all things aren't just perfect. And so if joy is going to work, I've got to learn to unleash it where I'm at. I've got to unlearn to unlock joy where I'm at. I've got to learn to experience God's joy where I'm at today. So how do you choose joy? If your life was a map, and how many have seen those maps? I'm sure you have. It's Christmas time, especially when you go to these big malls and you try to find a store. You know what I'm talking about? These three-story malls you go to, and your wife wants to go find a certain store, and you're like, you know, right. You know, I'm not going to wait 4 hours for you to find this one store. Let's go to the map. So we go to the map, and we look, all right. Women's clothing, this, that, there, okay. And we look, and it says, all right, it has a big arrow. It says, you are here, and then the store, and it has a star. You want to get here, you know. And there's a star that says, you are here, and another star that says, this is where you want to go. This is the map where you want to be. Today, if we were here, and we say, all right, you are here. Whatever your circumstances you're going through in your life, we could just read the map. It says, you are here, arrow pointing right here, that you are here. And we could put joy on the map and say, all right, how do I get from here to there? How do I get from where I'm at to the joy of the Lord? Today we're going to talk about that. How do we get there? How do we choose this path that gets us there? I was reading about a book, Dr. David Myers, who did research on. He wrote the book Pursuit of Happiness some years ago. And he discovered that when this book was published, to 17 years prior to that book being published, that 80,000 research projects research projects done on depression in the United States. They have done 80,000 researches on depression in the United States. But in return, they've only done 400 researches on the projects of joy. Why is that? They've done 80,000 on depression, but only 400 researching joy. It's because we always have a tendency to focus on the negative, don't we? We always have a tendency to focus on the problem. And it's one of the things we've talked about over the last few weeks is we're learning not to focus on our problem, but learning to focus on the solution. So how do we get there? How do we get there focusing on the solution, the joy of the Lord? How do we get there today? Three choices today that we make. There's three choices. We're going to look at the shepherds. How many know the shepherds had it going on? Shepherds in the fields, the story of Christmas. Today we're going to look at the shepherds and their response today and see what they did that brought joy. Three choices they made and we can make today to bring joy to our life. Number one, you choose to hear the good news. You choose to hear the good news. Have you ever been somewhere all of a sudden the phone rings and you've been down and you hear some good news on the other end of the phone? You're like, yes. You know, someone calls you and tells you some news you've been waiting on. All of a sudden you're like, yes. I mean, good news lifts you up, doesn't it? I mean, good news can change your attitude just like that. Someone brings you some good news and tells you some good news. They call you, they email you, or you run into them somewhere and they tell you some good news. You're like, yes. I mean, good news has a way of lifting our spirits. Look what it says here in Luke 2:10. This is the angel come to them. It says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. He says, the angel said this, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Not just for the shepherds, but all people. Today, if you say, well, Pastor, that was just for the shepherds, you're wrong. You're mistaken. We see right here in Scripture, it says that this good news is for what? It's for all people. The good news of what? Of Jesus is for all people. That Jesus has come. It's for all of us. It's the good news, and it brings joy to your life when you accept it in the fullness of what it's worth. The good news is what? That Jesus came. That's what they're bringing. Hey, there's some good news. There's good news. Jesus is here. Jesus came, and he came to make a difference in our world. And today, if you're feeling depressed, I say open yourself up to the good news. The good news is this. Yeah, your circumstances don't line up. Yes, there's things going on in your life that don't seem fair. Yeah, there's a lot of things that happen to you that you don't deserve. But hey, I got some good news. Good news for you. Jesus came that you can have life and experience life to your fullest. Jesus came to bring you comfort. Jesus came to bring you forgiveness. Jesus came to bring you peace. Jesus came to bring you joy in your life. He has come to bring joy into the world. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We say these words gospel. What does gospel mean? The gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've heard them called the gospels. Why are they called the gospels? The gospel simply is translated to the word good news. So when you read the Bible, you're reading the good news. When you read the Gospels, you're reading the good news that Jesus came. Here's a story of his life, that he came, that he was born of the Virgin Mary, and he came to die in our place, and he came and he healed those who were hurting. He forgave those who needed a Savior. He died for us in our place. He came to bring joy. He came to bring life. That's the good news of the Gospel. And now when you accept the good news of the Gospel, you can't help but accept the joy that comes along with that. Now you can see the good news. You can believe the good news, but you got to hear the good news and you got to believe it. And you got to say, you know what? I choose to operate in the good news. I choose to let God be that person in my life. I choose to let Jesus be the Savior he came to be in my life. It's a choice. Romans 1:16 says this, I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It's God's powerful method of bringing all who believe into heaven. Now everyone is invited to come to God in the same way. Look at that word invited. It says now everyone is invited to come to God in the same way. Invited to what? Invited to come receive the good news of the gospel. Every one of us can receive the good news. Every one of us can receive the joy of God. He's invited us to what? To a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where our joy comes from, is through a genuine relationship, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today because you're here because it's Sunday, you just want to be in church, I say it's a step in the right direction, but it's not the end all. That just coming to church alone in itself does not do anything before you besides make you religious. That it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that will bring change in your life. It's a personal relationship. I attended church a lot of years and was never changed. I know what it is to come and attend church and never be changed. But I remember when I accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, and applied it to my life. I said, God, you came for more than just a religion. You come for a relationship with you. When I operated in that and I accepted that, it changed my life. I experienced fullness of joy. I experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit operating in my life. He is here. Wow. And the good news is this, that Christ has called. He's left you a voicemail. He's sending you a fax. He sent you an email today. And he's just waiting for you to open that email up. He's just waiting for you to listen to that voicemail and call him back. He's just waiting for you to answer because the good news is here. He has sent the good news. He's calling you. He's knocking at your heart's door today. He's saying you don't have to live without joy in your life any longer. You don't have to live in a state of depression any longer. You don't have to live being controlled by your circumstances any longer. I am sending some good news to you. That relationship with me, a personal relationship with me, brings joy. That's what he sends to you and I today. But it's up to us. We've got to answer that call. We've got to answer that email. We've got to open it up and say, God, yes, you have sent your good news for me. And he's waiting on you. God didn't call to give you bad news. And some of you, you think all God's going to do, if I talk to God, answer his call, he's just going to tell me everything is bad. He's going to condemn me for everything I've ever done. He says he didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. He didn't come to beat you over the head. He came to say, I forgive you for those who come and confess your sins to him. He's not come to wrap my arms around you. He's here to bring you the good news today. We've got to accept that good news. Listen to James 1:2. Look what it says here. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Joy isn't in the troubles, but listen, I can have a joyful time in my troubles. There's not joy in my troubles, but you know I can experience joy in my troubles. There's a difference. I don't get joy out of my troubles, but I can experience the joy of the Lord even in the midst of my troubles. That's what he's talking about here. We have struggles in our life, but when I put my faith in God in spite of my circumstances, in spite of everything going on around me that's not fair, when I put my faith in God, I can experience a fullness of his joy. I can experience a fullness of faith in him that I cannot experience any other way. And what am I doing? I'm operating in faith. I'm pleasing God, saying, God, in spite of this, you're still God. In spite of my problem, you're still God. In spite of my sickness, God, you're still God. In spite of my trouble, God, you're still in control of my life. And as I operate in that, what am I doing? I am growing. Because how many know it's real easy to serve him when things are great? We're all good at serving God when things are great, aren't we? We all want to jump on that bandwagon then. Oh, God is great. He's greatly to be praised. Look at what he did for me. My life is doing good. I got a promotion. Things are happening. My family is coming together. Everything's going well. You know, we're Mary Poppins. We're floating off with God. Those are the easy times. But what about the hard times when you feel alone? What about the hard times when you lost somebody close to you? What about the hard times when you're laid off from work? What about the hard times when someone's sick close to you and you're sick in your body? What about the times when things are tied and you don't know where the answer's going to come from? What about those times? And see, when I step out and say, even so, God, man, even so, I'm going to step out and I'm going to say, God, I'm going to experience your joy. Yeah, my problems are still there. Yes, my circumstances are not the best, but you know what? I'm still going to believe the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm still going to unlock that and walk in that and accept that. What am I doing? I am stepping out in faith. And God says when I do that, that I'm growing. I'm growing because I'm not allowing my circumstances to dictate how I feel. I'm not allowing my circumstances to dictate how I serve God. But I'm serving him in spite of my circumstance. I'm serving him in spite of my problem. That's just how I grow as a Christian. It's through these times of faith that I grow. And God said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. I'm pleasing God. I'm growing. Those of you parents today, how many of you ever took your kids to Chuck E. Cheese or Incredible Pizza? And you play that one game. You know that one game that has the gophers or the alligators that come out? And you got to hit them on top of the head with that mallet. You know what I'm talking about? They give you that mallet and the thing comes up kind of slow and you're popping it, you know. And the more you pop it, the faster they come out. You know, and it's just kind of like our life problems. You know, they pop these problems will pop their heads out and you take God's good news and you pop it in the head. I'm going to experience joy. You're not going to get the best of me, and I'm popping these problems in the head. You know, that's kind of the way it is. I take, doesn't mean these things go away, but they kind of pop their head down a little bit. Sometimes we have to take that mallet that God gives, the goodness of the gospel of God. I'm going to pop this thing in the head. It sticks its head out. My problem, I'm going to pop in the head and say, this thing will not be in control of me, but I am controlled by the Holy Spirit. God, I'm going to walk in your good news of the joy of Jesus Christ. And I'm popping it. But you know what I experienced? The more you pop it, what happens? The faster they get. I mean, this is supposed to be a little kid's game. But it can be frustrating because the faster you do it, the faster they pop up. And pretty soon you're trying to get it and you can't keep up with it. It gets too fast. And so my family, we have figured out a way to win. I'm going to give you a secret right now. This is our family has figured out a way to win at this game. We play it together. That's how we win at this game. I mean, you can go, all my kids will be lined up there, and then there's like one kid over each hole. Pop, 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 pop. Man, we have high score every time. Thwing! I mean, I think it's high score, and these tickets come popping out. My kids have figured out when they play it together, they can beat this thing. But you know what? The same way in our life, when we play it together, we can beat this thing. Together with Christ and together with his church family. See, one of the biggest mistakes we can make as a church family is when we have these problems in our life is that we isolate ourselves from our church family. No, it's just the opposite. I need them even more then. I need support of my friends even more then. You need to be here to be loved on, to be touched, to be nurtured, to get with people because together we can beat this thing. Together we can help. Together we can get the high score. Together we can do this thing together. Look what Hebrews says here in Hebrews 10. And some of you ask this question, what if I lost everything, Pastor? How is there joy in that? Is there joy when you've lost everything that you have? There's an answer for you here in Hebrews 10. You even had joy when all that you own was taken from you because you knew that you had something better and more lasting. So the question is, can you have joy when you lose everything? According to Scripture, yes, you can. How is that possible? Because he says when you have a revelation, see, when you have a revelation of the good news, it changes your life. When you have a revelation of the good news, it changes your life. Because you realize this, that even though I go through bad things in my life, and I may lose everything I have a revelation that my life is just a blink in eternity. And that someday, I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. And there's going to be streets of gold. I'm going to have a mansion waiting for me where there's no sickness, there's no crying. There's no mourning. I'm going to be made whole, and I'm going to be there serving with my King. And see, you have a revelation when you have the good news of the gospel that keeps you going. That, yeah, I may have some hard times on earth. I may be blessed here, and sometimes I walk through bad times. But you know what? It doesn't make a difference because in the end, I win no matter what. In the end, we win no matter what happens. We win. We win. Sometimes we like to cheat and read the end of the book, and I just tell you, they cheat. Read the end of the book and see what God's word says about us. We win. Satan is defeated, and we win. And so we walk in that. Even if you lose everything, we know that God still has a place for us. And that eternity, when it comes to eternity, that I still win. That's the good news. Number two, how do we make a choice? It continues when you do what God says. When we choose to do what God says. These shepherds were in the field, and they were, watching their sheep. I mean, how boring is that? Being in the field, watching your sheep. It's at night, and so watching sheep has got to be a pretty boring job anyway. But at nighttime when the sheep are asleep, what are they doing? They're counting sheep. I mean, that's how they sleep. Let's read what Luke 2:15 says. Look what the angel of the Lord came to them. When the angel had left them and went into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The angel appears and says, "Hey, behold, Today is the day, man. The Savior has come. He's born in Bethlehem and talks about the birth of our Savior. And look what happens. The angels blessed them. They said, all right, let's go. Let's find out where he's at. And they continue to do what God says. The angel said to go, so let's go. Where did they go? Why did they go? Because they believe what God has said. Why did they go to Bethlehem? Because they believe what God has said. God appeared to them and said, hey, the Savior is born this day. And they said, let's go. They could have said, you know what? That may not be true. That's a long ride over there, you know. That's going to cost us some time. I don't know if we should make that trip. They would have spent the rest of their life wondering, what if? What if? What if we just did what the angel said? What if we just did what God asked us to do? What if? What if? Wonder what would have happened. What was experienced? But because they were obedient, they went. And I wonder how many of us are stuck in the fields of Jerusalem. You know, I'm just using that for example, but in our own lives, how many of you are stuck on the hillside somewhere? God's saying, go. God's saying, do this. God's saying, go, experience my joy. Open up the good news, experience, and you're still, I don't know. I don't know. See, we get resistance sometimes because we are afraid or we just don't know exactly what's going to happen. I say to you today, don't get stuck on the hillside. Go. Do what God's called you to do. Do what God spoke to your life to do. Experience the freedom that comes with that. Experience what God has for you in your life. That brings joy. When you're obedient, it brings joy to your life. Psalms 19:8 says this, the commands of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight to life. God's commandments bring joy. If I tell you today the Ten Commandments, the next word we think of is what? It's not joy, is it? I say commands of the Lord and Ten Commandments. What do you think of joy? I don't automatically think of joy when I think of the Ten Commandments. But God's saying what? When you keep his commands, when you obey his voice, when you obey the commands he's given us, when he tells you to go, you go. When he tells you to stay, you stay. When he tells you to trust him, you trust him. He says, when you keep my commands, he says, that brings joy into your life. When we do what God says, if you follow directions, you're going to live a joyful life. It's pretty simple. You begin to follow directions that he's laid out for our life, you will experience joy. It's pretty simple. But so many times we don't want to follow directions. We want to be a bonehead. We want to do things our way, our own rules. Well, Pastor, I believe the Bible. I don't believe the Bible on this. Well, listen, either you believe it all or you don't believe any of it. Who are we to pick and choose? I mean, either it's all truth or it's not all truth. And so if I say it's truth and it's all truth, and I'm called to be obedient to things God's called me to be obedient to, and when I do that, it brings joy to my life. That's what Scripture says. When I am obedient to God's commands, it brings joy. If you're not experiencing joy, I just encourage you to do a gut check. Are you being obedient today to what God's called you to do? Joy comes in obedience. Psalms 97:11 says, light shines on the godly and joy on those who do right. When we do right, God's joy is there. This last scripture I want to read on this point says John 16:24. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Your joy will be complete. We talked about this last week. That we have not because we ask not. Just ask. Ask. Ask him in his name. Be obedient. Ask him. Ask him, God, I need your joy. I ask in your name that, God, I need your joy. God, I ask that, God, even in spite of my circumstances, that, God, I need your joy. Well, God should read my mind. God should just know that I need his joy. He does know it. But he also wants you to ask. He also wants you to be, you know, specific. You know, my wife and I, this Christmas, we used to do this Christmas thing every year that says, if you love me, you know what I want for Christmas. How many of you ever played that game, husband's wife? You know, I'm talking about, if you love me, you'll know what I want for Christmas. And I love my wife, but you know what? She loves me, but she doesn't always know what I want for Christmas. Sometimes I'm not a good guesser. And we act like, oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, I love it. And you're like, God, I can't believe you wasted money on this. I would never wear this. I'd never use this. I'm going to take it back in my mind. I could have better spent this money on something else in my mind you wanted. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And you go, honey, it don't fit. I need to take it back. Exchange a different size. And you come back with some tools that you wanted. She got you a coat and you come back with tools. Oh, they're out of all my sizes. Sorry. So I had to maybe take these tools. I'm sorry. You know, we're past this thing. So my wife and I, we're past this thing of trying to say, you know, you read my mind. We just tell each other what we want. Makes it real simple. Honey, I would like this. You can get it before Christmas. You can get it after Christmas. It was on sale, whatever. But this is what I want this Christmas season. That's great, honey. I'll get it for you. We'll find it. I'll keep my eye open, you know. And we're a lot happier. A lot less exchanges going on. So we're past that point, you know, because we get what we want. Because why? Because we tell each other. Same with God. We get what we want from God because we ask of God. We ask of him. Tell him what you want. If you need joy in your life, admit it. God, I'm depressed. I need your joy. God, I'm not feeling good today. I need your strength. God, I need your joy to be a flood in my life. Ask of him. And the last thing, number three, joy comes when you choose to tell someone else. Look what the shepherds did here. Let's read Luke 2:17. When they seen, listen to what it says. When they seen him, they're talking about the baby Jesus. When they seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. They immediately went out and told everybody else about the birth of Jesus Christ, about the good news they had heard from the angels. They immediately went out, when they seen him, went out and began to tell people. Psalms 107:22 says, with joy they should tell what he has done. With joy we should tell what God has done in our life. And you want to experience the joy in your life? I say begin to tell people what God has done in your life. You need to tell somebody about the joy that God has put in your life. Well, Pastor, I'm not experiencing the fullness of joy the way I used to. Well, have you shared it with anybody else? I put you this challenge to you. Begin to talk to people about what God has done in your life, about the good news of the gospel, and see if the joy of God does not return to your life in a way that you've never experienced. I mean, you can't help, but when you talk about God, about what he's done in your life, what he's done, things in your family, things that happened, when you share testimony of what God has done, he brought you through a divorce. He brought you through a finances. He brought you through a bad something in your life. You share what God's doing in your life and what God has done in your family. You can't help but be encouraged. You can't help but walk in joy. Joy comes when you share the good news of Jesus Christ. He has designed you and I to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we'll operate in joy. We'll receive the gift of joy. I mean, listen, there is no better time of the year to share Jesus and his love than Christmas. People are more open to it than any other time of the year. There's two times a year that people who don't go to church go to church, Christmas and Easter. So if you're working on somebody, you're trying to get to church, and they're a tough cookie, I say Easter and Christmas are your two best shots. Ask them. Tell them. Not only tell you about God, ask them to come with you. Hey, come next week. We're going to be doing a special Christmas service. Come for our Christmas Eve service. Come. Invite them. There's people. I guarantee there's people at your work. There's people at your place of business. There's people where you shop who are wanting somebody inside. They're wanting, I would love to go to church on Christmas. I would love to go with somebody, but no one's invited me, and I don't know where to go, and I don't fit somewhere. And they're just waiting for somebody to ask them. They're just waiting for somebody to ask them. And you might be the very person who brings them. They come and they accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. I mean, people are waiting to be asked all across this community. Well, Pastor, we live in the Bible Belt. There's church in every corner. Yeah. But they're waiting. They're still there. I still meet people every day who don't go to church anywhere. And they're waiting for somebody to invite them. There's a lot of people here this morning. You're here because I invited you or somebody else personally invited you here. People are waiting for someone to invite them. People want to come. You got to invite them. And when we invite people and we share the good news about Jesus Christ, what happens? We experience the joy of Christ. Luke 15 tells us this. It says, I tell you that there is more joy. Look at what it says. I tell you, there is more joy. It's that word joy. More joy in heaven over one sinner who changes his heart and life and over 99 good people who don't need a change. I mean, you want to experience joy. You invite someone and let them experience Jesus Christ for the first time. The scripture talks about heaven has a party, man. He said there's more joy. I mean, joy floods the heavens and it floods the earth. It's going to flood your life when someone comes and gives their life to Christ because you invited them, because you shared the good news of the gospel with them. You want to experience joy in the midst of your trouble? You want to experience joy in your circumstances today? Don't focus on yourself. Focus on others. Give away God's love. Give away the goodness of God. Share. Share. Psalms 126 and 5 says, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. I know that this holiday season can be a painful time for many people. Because it seems like Christmas does one of two things. If you are a person who has things going well for your life, Christmas just makes you appreciate it even more. It makes you even more excited. But if you're a person who's going through some things in your life and you have some bad things happening to you or some depression you're going through or some things you're suffering, then Christmas will even magnify that in your life. It'll make it seem even bigger than what it is. You be comforted today by these words. Those who sow tears will reap songs of joy. What's that mean? That means this, that God is here today. If you're have tears of sorrow because of things that are going on in your life and circumstances that happen to you, I'm here to say that God is longing to give you songs in your heart, songs of joy, songs of comfort. God is here today to give you this. As we share the good news of the gospel, God fills our life. Philippians 4, we're going to close with this scripture. Philippians 4 says, be full of joy in the Lord always. And I will say it again, be full of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be full of the joy in the Lord always. I will say it again, be full of joy. Joy of the Lord is here for us this Christmas season. It's a gift that he's given every one of us. It's a gift that he's planned for you and for I. Just like any gift that's given at Christmas time, though, I have to receive it, I have to unwrap it. The giver can bring it to me. He can put it under my tree. He can bring it to my table. He can set it in my lap. But in order for me to experience that gift, I've still got to unwrap that gift and choose to accept it. Today, the joy of the Lord is here. The joy of the Lord has come. The good news of the gospel has come to bring you joy. It's come to bring me joy. And I can operate in the joy of the Lord. I can operate in the fullness of the joy of the Lord. But I must choose to unwrap that gift and say, I accept your joy. The choice is yours. The gift is here. Do you accept the joy of the Lord? Let's pray this morning and bow your heads, would you? I want to ask you this question today as we close out. And no one's looking but me. I want to ask you to check your heart today. If you're here and you say, Pastor Gene, you're talking about the good news of the gospel and accepting God's joy. And I just got to be honest today and tell you that, man, I'm here today and tell you I just need to accept that. Before I do anything else, if I can even accept this joy, I've got to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've got to accept him as God of my life. I need to ask him to forgive me my sins, and I ask him to come into my heart. I want to experience a relationship with him. I want to experience the good news of the gospel with him. If you're here today and you haven't prayed that prayer, or maybe you have at one time in your life and you quit serving God, you ran from him, and today you say, I want to come back. I want to get in the right relationship with him. If that's you, can you just raise your hand and say, I want to accept Jesus today. No one's looking but me. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want you to make sure you raise your hand and have the opportunity today to do that. Can you raise it high if that's you today? Second question I have for you today is this. You say, Pastor Gene, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I haven't unlocked this gift. I haven't unwrapped this gift of joy in my life the way I should. Yeah, I've been joyful in life, but things are good. But I haven't learned to walk in joy in spite of my problems. I haven't learned to walk in joy in spite of my circumstances, that I've allowed my circumstance to dictate how I was going to live. I've allowed my circumstances to dictate the joy that I felt. And today, as you're speaking, I realize that God has joy for me no matter what. No matter when things are good, no matter when things are bad. Today, I want to accept God's joy. I need to accept God's joy in spite of what I'm going through. If that's you today, can you raise your hand and say, that's me, I want to accept God's joy. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else say, several hands. Anybody else say, that's me today, Pastor. Thank you, thank you. That's me, Pastor. I've got to learn to accept God's joy. In spite of what I'm going through, I've got to learn to accept it. Anybody else today, you say, that's me, Pastor. I want to be in this. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else, that's me. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today as we close out. And I've got some good news for you. That we have good news. that our joy has come. And His name is Jesus. And we'll quit waiting for every circumstance to be right to experience joy and realize that in the midst of my storm, I can experience joy of the good news of Jesus Christ. I can tell other people about the good news and experience joy. I can trust God in spite of what I'm going through today. Several hands were raised today that said, yes, I need to accept God's joy. And I'm going to pray for you, especially those who raised your hands today, because I believe God's joy is going to come to you like a flood today. I do believe that. I believe today the good news of the gospel is here. His love is here. His joy is here to encourage you and lift you up. And so I want you today, can you, as a sign to God, can we just raise our hands today? If you're comfortable today, can you just raise your hands? God, I accept your joy. It's like a baby receiving a gift from his father. We raise our hands in faith. God, we receive your joy today. Father, I pray right now for every hand that's lifted, God, especially every person who raised their hands earlier, said, God, I want to receive your joy. Those who admitted that, God, they had struggled with this, God, I pray right now through your Holy Spirit, God, may your joy come to them, God. Even in the dark hour, God, may they know that, God, you are drawing close to them. Those who maybe feel alone, those who are battling depression, those who are battling circumstances, God, you are coming to them, God. We are opening up this gift today that you have brought to us, this gift of joy. And God, we are spiritually, we're unwrapping that gift right now, God. We're taking off the package. We're taking off the ribbon, God. We're opening up this box. And God, we're going to open up, Lord, your joy. And God, we're going to put it on today. We experience your love today, God, that you came, God, in spite of our sin, you came and you loved us. In spite of who we are, God, you loved us and you died for us. And you came to give us joy and that our joy may be full. And God, today, may your Holy Spirit fill us with your joy. As we open up in faith, God, and receive of it right now. God, I just feel your love today, your joy, filling those people, God, who are lifting their hands up, God, and receiving it. God, may it come continually today, God. May they experience joy. God, when they go to bed tonight, may they experience joy. When they look at their Christmas tree and decorations, may they experience joy. When they look at a cross, may they experience joy. When they pass by a church, may they experience joy. God, when they look at a photo today, may they experience joy. When they have a memory today, God, may they experience joy. Father, in the name of Jesus, when they see the present, may they realize that, God, they are unwrapping these presents, God, that you have given us of peace, of hope, Lord, and of joy today of your Holy Spirit. God, we receive that today. We speak that over our life. And God, in spite of what we're going through, we're going to walk in the joy, in the fullness of the joy of your Holy Spirit. For you have come to us this day to give us joy. We thank you, God, today. We thank you, God, today, this Christmas season, God, that we're reminded that, God, you came to give us joy. And we operate in that today, and we live in that today. And we receive that today in the name of Jesus. We say together, amen and amen. We say, God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand. Thank you so much for being here. Say, God bless you.